kind of job is it?
Armored cars carry a lot of money these days. Look at this.
Yeah. Yeah. But if they're all covered with steel, like it says in this article, how are we going to do it?
Simple. We'll catch them when they're in front of the bank with their doors open, actually transferring the money. We'll hit them hard, and we'll have a fast car. We'll have the money and be down the road before anyone can react.
Wait until you see the car. It's a Packard. There won't be anything on the road that could catch it.
We won't be in the Packard when we pull the job. That car stands out too much. We'll be in a different car.
You've got another car?
We will get another car before we do the job.
If we buy another car and one of the guards from the armored car describes it, don't you think the man who sells us the car might recognize it and describe us?
Who said we were going to buy the car?
Two nights later, about 2 o'clock in the morning, Jesse, Billy, and the three other men were driving slowly through a quiet and dark residential area in the west part of Joppa. Jesse was driving, and Billy and Nick Traynor were both riding in the front seat with him.
There, Pa. The Dodge touring car. Oh, it'll be perfect. Let me and Nick out here, and then you drive around the block and park. We'll walk back and get the car and then join you in a minute.
Billy and Traynor stepped out of the Packard, then walked back to the Dodge.
Set the brake and make certain the transmission is in neutral. When I tell you, cross these two wires right here.
Traynor shined a flashlight on the wires.
I'll crank. Now, cross those wires I showed you.
Traynor jerked the crank handle up. Billy then adjusted the throttle as Traynor, carrying the hand crank, hurried back to jump into the car.
Let's go!
They left the Packard in the garage of an empty house on Gilpin Street. The house was chosen not only because it was empty, but also because the driveway curved around the house to the garage in back. At 10:30 in the morning, they approached the U.S. Mint in Denver, Colorado. The marking on the side of the gray steel-plated truck read U.S. Federal Reserve. Jesse was driving the Dodge, and as they approached the armored car, they saw only two men behind the truck. One was inside the back of the truck, and another was standing beside a cart on the street, passing canvas bags up to the man inside the back. Billy, Traynor, Cummins, and Evans jumped out of the car. Traynor and Evans both had shotguns.
Step away from the truck!
Both truck guards were armed, but their weapons were pistols and they were in holsters strapped to their sides. Traynor and Evans pointed their shotguns. Billy jumped up into the back of the truck, then started tossing down the money bags. They had transferred four of them into the car when all of a sudden several armed guards came rushing out of the mint.
Billy, get in the car! All of you, get in the car!
Jesse saw one of the mint policemen raise his shotgun and take dead aim at Billy. Jesse's pistol was lying on the seat beside him, and he picked it up fast. Jesse fired, and the policeman went down.
Hurry! We gotta get out of here!
Some of the guards were using pistols, but many were using shotguns. A load of buckshot slammed into the back door of the car.
Where the hell did they all come from?
Just for a moment, it wasn't December 18th, 1916. It was September 7th, 1876, and Jesse wasn't in Denver. He was in Northfield, Minnesota.
No, no, not again!
The gunfire was as intense here on the streets of Denver as it had been that day in Northfield, or as it had been in any Civil War battle in which Jesse had ever participated. It might have been even more intense. By now, everyone was in the car but Traynor, and just as he was about to get in, Jesse saw a spray of blood erupt from the side of his face.
Grab hold of him!
The car leaped ahead, but Traynor wasn't yet inside. Billy was holding on to him by his arms. Traynor's legs were being dragged along the pavement.
Let him go! Let him go! Slowing us down!
No, he isn't slowing us down! Help me pull him into the car!
Cummins reached over, and with him grabbing one arm and Billy jerking on the other, they managed to finally get Traynor pulled the rest of the way into the car. Jesse checked the mirror, but nobody was in pursuit. All of the mint guards had been on foot, though he was sure that by now many of them had gone to their cars. He was equally sure that the Denver police had been alerted as well.
How's Traynor doing?
Billy saw that there was a large wound on the side of his head and that about half of Traynor's brains were pouring out. Traynor's eyes were open, but they were opaque.
He's dead, Pa.
Damn.
Traynor was the first man to be killed in one of Jesse's operations since the failed Northfield raid, when Clell Miller and Bill Chadwell were killed. They'd gotten $26 from the Northfield raid. Was this job as big a failure? Jesse checked the mirror as they turned onto Gilpin and saw no other traffic. The entire street was empty.
Billy, get the Packard.
Jesse pulled around back, then waited as Billy backed the Packard out.
What are we gonna do with Nick?
We'll leave him in the car.
Oh, we can't do that. I mean, just leave him like that.
You know him. Does he have any relatives that you know about?
No, none that I know about.
Then we'll leave him in the car. He'll be found and he'll be buried.
5 minutes later, as the Packard drove back through Denver, they saw that West Colfax was blocked off and a policeman was standing there directing traffic.
What happened here, officer?
There was a robbery at the Mint.
You don't say. Can we drive by and take a look?
Well, there's nothing for you to see there. Get on your way and let us do our work.
Yes, sir. I do hope to catch it.
They stopped for the night in Bennett, Colorado. There, they got two hotel rooms, and gathering in Jesse's room, dumped the contents of the canvas bags onto the bed.
Wow! Look at all that money!
I swear I had never seen that much money in my entire life. How much is it?
One, two, three, four.
Jesse began counting it, dividing it into four equal piles.
1,000.
Hey, we should be dividing it into three piles.
Why is that?
Well, you and Billy, being as your family and all, it's almost like you're getting a double amount.
He may be my son, but we are two people.
Frank's right, Evans. Anyhow, why are you complaining? Didn't you just say this is the most money you'd ever seen in your entire life?
Yeah, I did say that.
And it wouldn't be here at all if it wasn't for Frank and his boy getting it all set up for us.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry, Frank. Besides, what with Trainer getting killed, why, I reckon we'll be dividing up his share. How much is it all coming to?
Boys, there's $50,000 apiece here.
Son bitch! What am I gonna do with all this money?
The first thing we're gonna do is split up. The law knows there were at least four of us, so I don't think it's a good idea for the four of us to stay together. Tomorrow, Billy and I will go on alone.
Alone? What are we supposed to do?
There's a train depot right across the street. You've got enough money to go anywhere in the country. Hell, you've got enough money to go anywhere in the world. I suggest that the two of you take a train tomorrow, but don't both of you take the same train.
Yeah. Yeah, I got enough money to do anything I want to do. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm going out to California. I've always wanted to see California.
Why stop there? Why not go on to Hawaii? I think I read someplace that the women don't wear any tops in Hawaii.
Some bitch. Yeah, Hawaii. Yeah, I'm going to Hawaii.